Glory to God. You're worthy of all of the honor and all of the praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. I'll tell you, you get in that vein of worship. It's truly a vein. Hallelujah. If you don't get in the vein, I've learned if you don't, you just get punctured is all you get. And you bleed all in your tissue. I want to get in the vein of worship where the flow is going. Hallelujah. Once you get in that flow, hallelujah, there's no turning back. Hallelujah. You don't know when to stop praying. You don't know when to quit praising because you're in the flow of it. And when it don't flow out of you, you're not in the vein. But when you get in that vein of worship, whoo, hallelujah, thank God. Praise the Lord. Tonight I'm going to have to teach from here because I forgot to put on the other microphone. That's all right. We'll just go from here. Will it work? That's okay. All right. Now let's go to Luke chapter 8, verse 11 through 18. And let me thank once again all of these musicians that play and sing. It's amazing. You know, they bring these instruments, these guitars and things to play 10, 15 minutes. I know what it's like to bring one every service and tote it home, put it up, wipe it off. I just want to thank y'all for your practice and everything you do to enhance the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 8 and 10. This is the best parable in the Bible. There's no parable greater than this one. I know it's been taught the most, but that's not why it's the greatest. The reason it is the greatest is because in one place, Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, you will not understand any of the others. So this truly is the greatest parable in the Bible. We call it the parable of the sower. But I'd like to look a little bit different tonight than I have ever looked at this parable. I really never taught it out of Luke because Luke is the most has brevity to the parable. Matthew expounds more, but tonight I saw things that Luke wrote, and he kind of put it in a real compact method so I can bring it to you and hopefully in a timely manner. Luke 8 and 11, now the parable is this. He's explaining it. The seed is the word of God. We know that. The word of God is the seed. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, another place he said the evil one, and taketh away the word out of their hearts. It did hit their hard hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So before they had a chance to believe and be saved, boom, it was gone. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. Oh, I wish I'd have had this a long time. Why didn't somebody tell me about this? And these have no roots. They shout about deliverance. They shout about prosperity. They shout about the blessings of God, but they have not received those things, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And they which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth and are choked. Yeah, this is really where I'm going to park tonight. They are choked because this is the church, actually, if we're not careful. Those others never made it far enough to be part of the church. But these are those that actually go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Didn't say they didn't have fruit. It wasn't edible fruit. But that on good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, they keep it, and they bring forth fruit with patience. This is what caught my attention, though, the next verse. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in might see the light. We've been talking about seed, and now we're talking about light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. I want to look at this 14th verse, the thorns, and they go and forth, they choke by cares, riches, and pleasures. I want to talk about don't choke it. Don't choke it. The word of God, don't choke it. There's so many ways it can be choked. God, I come before you tonight. I'm so thankful for this opportunity to come to this little community, Lord, and bring the gospel, hallelujah, of deliverance and peace and restoration. Lord, I wish everybody that lived around here was here tonight to hear your word, because without hearing the word, we can't be saved, and without a preacher, we can't be saved unless he be sent. We ask you to open up our ears, let us hear and understand and keep the word of God and bring forth fruit with patience in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming tonight. You may be seated. To choke something is to suppress it, is to suppress the flow of something by obstruction, to strangle it. When you read the Bible, the Lord, several places, he said, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, and you can't do that. And he also, in several places, he said, and do not eat that which has been strangled, because they have not been bled. And so I don't think much about how I want to die. I think about how I don't want to die. I don't want to die being strangled. I can't think of much worse way than somebody just slowly, I'm alive, but I'm struggling for my life, and strangling can go on for so long. And you know you're losing the battle, and being choked, and you struggle for blood supply, you struggle for air, and the struggle ends up in loss of life. And so many Christians today are unfruitful in their walk with Christ, not because they don't have a walk with Christ, but it's a strangled walk with Christ. It is a choked walk with Christ. It did not say they have no fruit. It said they have no fruit to perfection. In this parable, I want to quickly go through these four soils. And what you will see is that it is a progressive thing in time, so that not only the hardness of the wayside and the rock and so forth, but you will notice how long the word lasts is so vitally important. So that when we look at the wayside, the Bible says, and I'm going to use from all of the parables, but I'm not going to read there tonight. It says that when the seed or the word of God hit the wayside, it fell among the wayside. That's that walked over, trampled, hard ground that's not really in the field. It's the wayside. It's the way they traveled on the sides of the field. And when the Bible says when it hit, immediately it says the devil comes in and snatched up. Another place says the fowls of the air and the evil one coming. I mean, it never even popped out in a little root or anything. Just almost as soon as it was there, they were waiting to grab it up. So it didn't even last long enough. It was just somebody that got a little glimpse of the word. They just heard a little bit about Jesus. You told them a little bit about his love and his care. And for a minute, you had their attention. They thought, you know, maybe I'll come to church. And you never hear from them again. They may have passed through one service and you saw a tear or two, but they never come back again. They had their chance. They heard the word of God, but they didn't last long enough to benefit from the word. And then he goes on. Now, watch. It's a progressive thing. Then those that fall on the rock are those that hear the word of God, and they receive it with joy. You know how many people pass through even this church and say, Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Lord, I feel your spirit here. I see tears. I see smiles when I preach, and I see frowns sometimes too. I see all kinds of emotions when you preach. But you can't deny where God's presence is. It is. I mean, you can't deny it. If he's there, he's there. And people feel it, but their heart is hard. They don't want to change. A rock doesn't want to change. I'm sorry. You got to pound a rock to get it to change. And so it doesn't want to change. And so they at first receive it with joy, but they don't have any roots. You can't root on rocks. The roots just go out, and then what happens is it said they had no roots. And when the tempter comes, when temptation comes, or when the sun, in another place it says, is risen, they soon wither because they had no depth. They like what they hear. They believe this is the truth, and I'll see you next Easter or Mother's Day or whatever, and I think y'all got the truth over here. But they don't have any roots to stick it out. And so as soon as temptation comes, as soon as the trial comes, boop, they're gone. So they lasted a little longer than the ones on the wayside. And then he gets to the ones that fell among the thorns. And these are those that do go forth, and they stay long enough to get a sprout. They get a root that goes down. They get a little leaf that comes up. And they get a bloom, Brother Valentine, that comes on, and they get fruit. They actually get some fruit that comes on the vine, and or on the stalk or on the limb, and they exist for quite a while, but they never, the Bible says, these folks, they hang all around the church, but they're never in it. You hear me? They're all around it, but they're never really in it. And they never bring forth fruit to perfection. It's nothing you'd want to eat. It's nothing pastor can depend on. It's nothing you can depend on because you don't know whether they're going to ever perfect their life or not. So you can't really use them because you just don't know. And so, but they're here. They go to church. But the Lord says, I want meat for the master's table. And so this is the place right in here where I want to spend a little bit of time, because it says these are the ones that get choked. The ones that fall among the thorns, these are the ones that hang around in church but never really improve their life. Always going to, but never do. Someday they're going to get it right. And so I want to talk about the three things that strangle or choke the Word of God. Don't choke the Word of God. So I want to show you three things it says here. Number one, the cares of this life. Nothing wrong with life. Nothing wrong with things we have to do in life. But the cares of this life, to care for something is to be concerned about it. It is to be troubled by it. You know, I got to go see about this. I got to go see about that. Oh, you know, so-and-so's. They're having a... And you're always chasing somebody else and what's going on in their life and things that are going on in your life, and never bring really anything to God. Just chasing whatever. It's legitimate things, but it's really not legitimate in God's eyes. And so what happens is Christians, they get so concerned about other things and other people that they never flow in the Spirit. They never really mature. You know why this fruit never goes to perfection? It's choked. It's choked. I want you to notice something. I'm going to tell you, some of you may have noticed this, but after I tell you, you're going to notice it in many places. You go to places like Lowe's or new places that... restaurants or whatever, new establishments, they want to make it look good quick, right? So they don't want to plant a little seed like this and let it grow up. They plant a somewhat mature tree, but it's not mature enough to stand on its own, you know. So they bring in stakes and they stake them down and they tether them down with cords, and they'll wrap around it. They'll sometimes put one of these iron, you know, posts, and they'll lean it in there. I mean, I've noticed all this because I garden, and they'll tie it up to that post, you know. And that's wonderful, because that tree needs care. It's not strong enough to survive without it. Well, first little wind, it would lean over and grow like this. So it's a good thing that somebody is caring for it right now. But I want you to look and see that most landscapers will never be my landscaper, because they never take it off. And what you'll see is this constriction around the tree. You'll see the rod covered by part of the... You should go to Texas Roadhouse. You'll see one. A rod that they... When the tree was this big, it was helpful to the tree. The care was needed. But at some point, you got to stand on your own, Mr. Tree, Mrs. Tree. Because the very thing that's taking care of you will strangle you. And they leave it there so long because they don't care. And then before long, the tree is weakened by the same thing that once strengthened it. And if we're not careful, my brothers and sisters, we think we need propping up all of our lives. Oh, pray for me. I'm going through this. Pray for me. I'm going through that. And you've been living for God for 40 years, and you got the same struggle. And it's constricted you, and you never really did anything, brought anything to perfection, because it was first you needed that care. You needed that love. You needed somebody to uplift you. But at some point, it needs to be you lifting somebody else up and encouraging somebody else. Are you with me tonight? So when you go around, go look around, you'll see these trees I'm talking about with these scars and these mars. And if you ever go and a good wind comes and it breaks, you look, there's a wire in there. Because it constricted. Now, I don't know about you, but the last time I checked, my belt was a 34. Now, you don't have to tell me yours, but it used to be a 29. Now, I could have said, I'm going to keep it 29. I've seen men that have a 29 waist and a 46 belly. And they say, my waist is 29. I said, that ain't where you measure at, though. And I could just, oh, bless God, I'd be walking around like this, you know. I'm still 29. Yeah, but you acting, you know. You walking funny. What? You see, here's my point. This is my point. When they put that thing around that tree, it didn't grow with it. It was fixed. And the cares of this life are fixed. They never go away. It's fixed. You'll always have this. You'll always have that. There'll always be this going on. But God wants you to grow. And if you stay fixed on what you've been fixed on, you'll be marred. You'll be scarred. You'll never be productive. Are you understanding my little point here today? And so as I began to grow, it became 30 and 31. And I'm stopping at 34. Bless God. I'm going back to 30. 29, bless God. That's what I'm going to do. Well, don't hold your breath. But as I grew, I had to loosen up on that belt. So the cares of this life will keep choking you as you try to grow in God. As that tree begins to swell and it gets a year and another year behind it, the wire that goes around it doesn't change. And so as it begins to grow, it grows around it. And that's what happens to us. We try to grow around it. Well, I can handle this and God too. But I'm telling you, when the wind comes and the temptation comes, and Rita comes back, you're going to snap off right there. Are you understanding me tonight? That is the cares of this life. And there's so many things in our life if we're not careful. And there, something can be good things. It can be a college education. You can get wrapped up in a college education and lose your soul. It's good to get a college education. But if you're not careful, that'll be a care of this life that you've got to be educated and you've got to have this job and you've got to do all that. And you get so involved with that that God's wanting you to grow this way and that care constricts you. I'll tell you, I believe let the world do what the world does. Lord, I don't even like being around the world. I had to go to a couple meetings and where there's people beside you, and I heard how they talk, and I told Jerry, I got back from that last one in North Carolina, I'm done. I'm done with that. I don't want nothing to do with the world. I don't even want to hear what you got to say. I'm done with that. And so I don't want to get involved with them. I want to be fruitful. How about you? I want to be fruit. Not, I don't want the little bitty. I want something the Lord can use. So the cares of this life is one of those things that chokes us back if we're not careful. It's all about fruit. Can you say amen? It's all about fruit. If the tree's not fruitful, he said, cut it down, cast it in the fire. And get ready, if you are fruitful, there's a cutback season. There's a season of when he cuts you back, so you become what? More fruitful, because it's all about the fruit. Then he talks about riches of life. And somehow the devil has deceived so many people, even in the Word of God, with these prosperity messages and all these kind of things, and thinking that prosperity is godliness. But I'm here to tell you, I love that chapter Brother Dennis read. That is my favorite, probably one chapter, because there is a prosperity message inside of that chapter. He said, don't mess with the world and meditate day and night on me, and I'll make sure you're like a tree planted by the water.